Lamentations 5:19. You, Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation. Lamentations 5:19. What a great verse and a great reminder of who God is. Well, you might be all getting sick of me talking about being a positive influence in the world, kind of enthusiastic about life and inspiring others to live the faith and live out their faith. And I mean, in a world that is consistently negative, there's lots of death and destruction and gossip and political idiocy and debt and crime and sickness, I think being positive in all that turmoil would be rather a bad thing, don't you? It's sarcasm there, folks. Instead of living with some grit to pull through, sometimes we just succumb to the world and become part of the fray, don't we? So maybe we think we should just hang out and be a mediocre Christian, or what Craig Groeschel, teacher-preacher, calls the Christian atheist. We talked about that several years ago. Someone who believes in Christ but acts as if they don't believe. Do you believe that can happen? I think it can. Now, I believe we do. I am a realist to a certain point. I do believe we live in a sick world. It's a world that needs a doctor. It's a world that needs a pharmacist. And of course, the doctor that is really needed is Jesus Christ. And he's the author, the finisher of the life. He's the one who, if we believe, he's the one who set us free, from sin and bondage and the doomsday mentality that so many people have. And so I would suggest early on in this message, if you don't know who Jesus is, or if you have not made a decision to follow him, or if you need to rededicate your life, do that now, because he can really change your life. I would encourage you to do that. He makes all the difference in the world in the way in which we think and live, and he provides you with that strength, that grit, the love, the endurance, the forgiveness, and a host of other things that Jesus offers, including, of course, eternal life. Very, very positive, wonderful message of Jesus. You might recall we talked several weeks ago about the HeartMath Institute. You remember that? They showed us that when you have a feeling in your heart, it goes to every cell in your body, and then it goes outward, and it goes outward to other people who are 10 feet away. So they can sense those feelings from your heart, from the cells, and transmit it out to them. And it means each day you are broadcasting to people how you feel. You are either broadcasting something positive or something negative, apathy or passion, indifference or a purpose. Furthermore, research from Harvard supports the same thing, but it also adds that those feelings that we have in our heart are contagious. And so they affect other people around us. So you will catch my bad mood if you hang around with me long enough, right? Like the swine flu. You'll start having a bad mood. You'll start talking negative. Or, on the other hand, you'll catch my enthusiastic, positive attitude, and that will help you to soar like an eagle. Makes sense, doesn't it? So this principle applies to everyone. It applies to the church, it applies to your family, it applies to individuals, it applies to sports teams, whatever, businesses. It applies to every human being. So we can be a depressant to many people, or we can give people a big shot of B12 for energy. Uplifting each other, the community, the church, our places of business, the school, everything. And I got to tell you, I am so sick and tired of negative attitudes, I've become negative about them. Now, how many of you watch still are watching Fox? Remember, we had the homework. You're watching Fox, MSNBC, MNBC, or whatever. Has anybody stayed off the junk for a while? Okay, so have I. Still, since the July, I have been off that stuff. I just feel so much better. You know, when we wake up in the morning, get to work, school, the gym, wherever you're going, we have a decision to make every day. Are we going to be that big shot of B12 and fill the room with life and energy? And I would say this, as a Christian, fill the room with Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit? Or are we going to be a downer and are we going to suck the life out of people? Now, I argue that we as Christians should be contagious, spirit-filled, display love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, forgiveness, cheerfulness. The list could go on and on. It's not exhaustive. If you want to read more on that, clothe yourselves, Colossians says, I think it's Colossians 3, with all of those things. Contagious, positive attitudes towards life and towards one another. In fact, I think what you believe in should be contagious. You are so excited to tell somebody about what you believe in. It's contagious. People should be able to see it in you and me. And sometimes they don't. I understand that. I'm human. I'm like the guy that Judy was reading about, selfish, self-interest, all this sort of stuff. But we want to be like Jesus, right? So how many of you feel you did your best last week in regards to your faith in Jesus? Your best. Okay, a couple of you did pretty good. How many of you feel if you put the effort into it, you could do better or even better than you did last week? Maybe be a little bit more joyful or even more contagious in your faith, right? So I think we all could do better. The fact is we can do better. We're talking the Holy Spirit. We're talking about God who lives in us. And so we can love more. We can pray more. We can help more. We can love more. We can. And by the way, did you know we could do the impossible because of God? So we know Jesus was contagious, right? I mean, people were drawn to him. Folks had that feeling about him, that heart math thing. That was going on with people in Jesus. He was very contagious. I mean, the blind knew it, the sick knew it, the demons knew it, the Sadducees and the Pharisees knew it. There was something very engaging and contagious about Jesus Christ. Now, not only was he a doctor who could heal the sick mentally, spiritually, and physically, he could do all of that. He was and still is divine. And he's someone who could offer forgiveness. I believe also he was something we overlook, and that's a pharmacist. He had a contagious attitude about life. Here's where we're going to go to Mark chapter 10, not Mark chapter 9, but Mark chapter 10. We're going to be reading verses 46 through 51. Mark 10, 46 through 51. So many of us know this story. And of course, when you read the Bible through year after year, every time a story hits you in a different way, and that's great. I think that's a wonderful thing about Scripture. So starting in verse 46, chapter 10 says this: Then they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging, and then he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, and he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Well, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." You know what I wrote in my Bible there? Negative Nellies, right? Somebody shouting for Jesus and we're telling them to be quiet? Are you kidding? You want to offer Jesus, don't you? Then Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And so they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said, "on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing off his cloak, so the blind man, he throws off his cloak, throws it aside, he jumps to his feet, and he comes running to Jesus. "Well, what do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," Jesus said. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. What a great story. Well, let me ask you this. Do you think the once blind man smiled when Jesus called his name to come over? Do you think he smiled when Jesus healed him? You don't have to answer, just questions I was just thinking about. Do you think Jesus smiled the day Bartimaeus was healed, or even directly following? Do you think Jesus smiled when folks ran away rejoicing after being healed mentally, physically, or spiritually? Do you think the woman at the well smiled? Do you think Jesus smiled at her? Do you think Jesus ever smiled? Smiled when you made a decision to follow him? Well, you know, historically, our renderings of Jesus would say no. Jesus didn't smile. Most of us grew up in the church with an unsmiling Jesus. So you can check out all the artwork of Jesus from past days. Years gone by, Doug has thrown some up for us. Real old paintings, some of them are my favorites. The artwork can be very, very incredible. The oils, the this and that. And if you've ever been to a museum, you got to go to one of these exhibits and see these paintings of Christ. But there's never a smile. Always just this skinny, weak-looking man. Beautiful, but no smile. So for centuries, we have painted pictures of Jesus as a somber human being and portrayed him as a speaker with a deadpan voice, haven't we? You ever seen those movies that they put out about Jesus? Come to me. It's like a Gregorian chant or something. And this from a guy who brought the gift of life. Kind of, I look at it from years gone by, if you look at those paintings, a lifeless guy giving life. And it doesn't make sense to me. What makes sense to me was that Jesus smiled a lot. That makes sense. He was God, but he was also fully, what? Human. He created the smile. And even scientifically and biologically, his smile is what made him a pharmacist. Not just a doctor, but a pharmacist. How many of you know that within us we have what's called feel-good neurotransmitters? How many of you know that? Okay, it's true. When you share a real smile, here's one. Oh, hey, there is a real smile. When you share a real smile, it produces three things: serotonin, dopamine, and endorphins, which all of this stuff starts in your brain and it works throughout your body. They've done studies on it, so that's what happens. And what's more, it does the same to the recipient of your smile. Now, that's awesome. Just by smiling at someone, you're giving them a dose of serotonin, which is an antidepressant. You're giving them endorphins, which get you high on life. If you've never been really high on endorphins, go run a full marathon. You'll experience it, and it's pretty wild. So you got the endorphins going. Then you get the dopamine, which helps you to work towards rewards and accomplishment. It's a different kind of sensation. And so, as a communicator of the love of Christ, to me, it makes sense to smile. You carry good news of great joy. So why would you not be smiling about it? When you smile, you're acting as a pharmacist. And when you're acting as a pharmacist and you're smiling, you're doing what I would say or believe is being a light unto the world. You're lighting the world up. So God gave you the power to help someone feel better just by smiling. And you're going, Dave, you're starting to get whacked out. You're going to this Scientology stuff. What are you doing? No, I'm not. I beg you to try it. So I did. I went out the other day. And I was walking at a fast clip to the door of the bank, and there was a woman with a walker trying to pull the door open. And so I ran up to her, and I said, let me get that for you. You know, and I'm smiling. I'm having a good day anyway, and I'm just smiling. Yeah, let me get that door for you. And I opened the door, and I said, you know, these doors are real heavy. And she started to chuckle. I laughed a little bit. It lit her up. She smiled. She said thank you. She started telling me what happened and that she's just hopeful that she'll get off the walker and she'll be better. But she was excited. So we each got to the teller. Her at one teller, I'm at the other teller. Those smiles bled over to the tellers. And now the tellers are smiling. And now I'm picking on this teller. She's picking on my teller. And we're all having some fun together. I finally said, you know, we're all just too blessed to be stressed. She lifted her arms, hallelujah. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is fun. She was about to bust out in song. And you know, we know Jesus has called us to be the light unto the world, right? Well, that doesn't happen if we're grumpy frumps. In fact, a Christian's smile should be contagious. I mean, very contagious. I've got to believe that the author of life who created the smile smiled an awful lot. Here's a picture of Jesus smiling. Now, some people, because they've started talking about Jesus actually smiling, they've taken those old Rembrandt pictures and they've put a smile in there. What do they call that? With that Photoshop, the smile on Jesus' face. I'm like, that's sacrilegious. Because it makes the picture look terrible. You got to have something that's really painted, right? But it's not in Scripture, so I might myself be called sacrilegious for saying this, but I believe Jesus often laughed until he cried. Have you ever done that? It was one of those big, huge, huge belly laughs. Your stomach hurts. Your cheeks hurt, your head hurts, your hair hurts, everything hurts because you're laughing so hard at something that could really even sometimes be dumb. Great workout, I guess. But I think Jesus had a lot of those laughs with his disciples, with other folks. You know, at least three times this past week, I was told about one of you. And three different people. Whose smile, I'm sitting here crying, I gotta try and smile. Weetie! No, that's a fake one. But people who smile tickled someone. You cared enough to visit, to cause someone to smile. So you were a pharmacist, you were dispensing Christ. And you know, the smile is a form of communication, and what comes from it not only releases those neurotransmitters, those feel-good scientific things, but I believe it releases the Holy Spirit. It goes right from you onto someone else. You know what it also does? It spreads positive gossip. Our gossip is always negative, isn't it? How about having some positive gossip? Wow, did you see what that person did the other day? That was just fantastic. They backed right into me. Dented my car up, but you know what? They got out, gave me their insurance card. We talked. We had a good time. All is well. Right? You get back in the car. You tell somebody how nice that person was, even though you had the accident. You're not angry. You're smiling. Boy, that person that came to visit me. Got a nice family. I'm going to pray more for them. Good gossip. Good things. When smiling, there's lots of praise going on. And I really believe the negative words start to disappear, don't they? Our world doesn't need more negative and impossible thinkers. We have plenty of them, and I'm one of them sometimes. We need more encouragers, inspirers, enthusiasts, more people smiling, more smiling pharmacists, all of which should be coming, I believe, from the church. From the church. Because the message of Jesus Christ is uplifting. It's compelling. It's contagious. It's glorious. It's wonderful. It brings life. And so you have some homework for this week. And you can jot it down if you want. And well, I don't even want to say for a week. This is homework for the rest of our lives, right? Because we're dealing with Jesus. And that's to practice your smile on people. And if you can't smile, you can't laugh, buy yourself a good joke book and read. Or you can come to me for some world-famous humor. I would encourage you to go visit somebody. And the first thing you do is you put your hand on them and you smile. And you smile. How you doing? Be serious about it. People know the real smile from the fake smile. Remember, 10 feet away. If you want to be a pharmacist without a 4-year degree, because it takes, well, actually, probably 8 years for a pharmacist, isn't it? Maybe 6 or something like that. Then start smiling. That automatically makes you a pharmacist. Now, I close with these verses, and I think, Doug, do you have them on the screen? We're going to read these together, and then we're going to go into communion. Now, these verses are just some verses I pulled out of Scripture that talks about the happy heart a little bit. So here we go. Proverbs 15:13. A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. Proverbs 15:15. All the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast. Proverbs 15:30. Light in a messenger's eyes brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Do you all understand that? Man, a cheerful heart. Join me in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, you are always so good to us, and I know we come to you many times day in and day out, broken and hurt and bruised. And at the same time, your promise to us is that you will answer prayer and that you will fill us with a sense of that joy, that peace that surpasses all understanding. So I ask that that's what will happen this morning to the groups of folks that are here right now, Heavenly Father. I pray today that after communion, even right now as they approach the communion table and we repent before you and seek forgiveness, Lord, that even as we approach this table, we do so with a smile on our heart, knowing what it is that you did on that cross, that you died, you took all that pain, that sickness and suffering upon yourself. You took it to the grave, our sins included. You got rid of it all and you rose again so we could have that life. And so, Lord Jesus, help us to just be happy about that, accepting the fact that you are our true God, our Savior and Lord, that you have given us life. Thank you for causing us to smile. Thank you for creating it. Thank you for helping us to be the people that you want us to be. Lord, bless us now, as just on the night that you were betrayed, you took the bread and you broke it, signified your body, which would be broken on our behalf. And you blessed it and you said to your disciples, take, eat this in remembrance of me. And on that same night, you took the cup and you blessed it and you that signified your blood, which would be shed on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. And you blessed it and you said to your disciples, drink this in remembrance of me. So Lord Jesus, we do remember all of that. And we say, thank you, thank you, thank you for everything that you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If I could have our deacons come forward at this time. broken for you. Let's eat together.